Welcome to worship on this Easter Sunday, the 4th of April, 2021. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I'm Derek Ingfeldt, the pastor here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Saratoga, and I welcome you to this gathering. We come together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Good, gracious, and glorious God, once again, we come together as your beloved people to focus our thoughts on your living and life-giving word that convicts us of our sin and brings us comfort, hope, and inspiration. We rejoice in your resurrection, and we pray that the power of your resurrection would transform our lives and grant us an enduring and persistent hope. Lift our spirits in praise before you now, that we may faithfully bring you all honor and glory. Amen. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening song, Easter Song. Thank you very much, Anton, for that marvelous piece, Easter Song by Annie Herring from the second chapter of Acts. One of my favorite pieces and a perfect way to celebrate on this Easter Sunday. We also thank those who came out yesterday to decorate our church sanctuary for this service, as well as the front part of our church campus on the Sunday of the Resurrection. We have now returned to every week services here on site at Emmanuel. Starting next Sunday, you will have three options. You can view us as you are now online. You can also worship with us in person, either indoors or outdoors. Indoors at 9 o'clock and outdoors at 10:30. We invite you to join us. We also invite you to go to our church website where you will see every day posted by 9 o'clock in the morning, a daily devotion. Also, if you are viewing this service at 9 o'clock in the morning, please do join us for a time of fellowship via Zoom starting around 9:30. Also, during the week, on Wednesday and Thursday, there's an opportunity for Bible study. We meet live via Zoom. And if you have prayer requests or other needs, please do let us know. Here on site, we collect food, books for kids, and clothes. If you have those items, you can come by anytime and drop them in our donation bins. We wish a happy 92nd birthday to John Chang this week. We thank God for you, John, for your humble spirit and for your positive encouragement. And thank you all for your participation in the ministry and mission of our Lord Jesus Christ in and through Emmanuel Lutheran Church, for your faithful reaching out to others, and for your ongoing financial support. You may donate through Givelify or PayPal online, and we thank you for your generosity. Please do pass the service on to others who you think would benefit from it. We want to expand our viewing audience and to share the good news of our Lord. And now enjoy some music by our handbell choir, He is Risen. The Holy Gospel for this Easter Sunday, according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they lay him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord. Ah, we followers of Jesus have been looking forward to this day for a long time. For 40 days during the season of Lent, we have followed Jesus on his journey to the cross. And now, finally, we rejoice at his resurrection. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Of course, we have been waiting even longer than that. For this last year, we had hoped to gather together at Easter 2020. And now, finally, we have come together to celebrate. To celebrate in person. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And yet we find that we are in different stages of accepting it, different levels of our rejoicing. Some among us are effusive in our praise and exult with all of our being. Others are more reserved and subdued. Still others continue to wait in wonder, hoping beyond hope that the story we hear is a true one. This morning we listen to the account of St. Mark, the very first gospel written. What we have before us is the first report of what happened on the first day of the week, on that first Easter Sunday. To the tomb go the trio, these faithful three, to anoint their crucified Lord. But it seems that they are still in shock, for as they are on their way, it dawns on them the stone, the very large stone in front of the tomb. Who will roll it away for us? But before they can figure out how they can make this happen, they look up and they see that the stone has already been rolled away. They enter into the tomb, and a young man is there in a white robe. He leaves them amazed with his appearance and by his announcement that the one they were looking for, the crucified one, Jesus the Nazarene, is risen. He is not here, the man tells them. Take a look for yourself. And now go and tell his disciples. They are afraid. They are gripped with trembling and astonishment. And they went out, they fled, and they said nothing to anyone. The women were stunned and amazed, and quite honestly, this account leaves us stunned and amazed. For much of what we expect to happen and hear on this Easter Sunday is absent. Where is the joy? Where is the celebration? Where is the rejoicing? And where is Jesus? He's on his way to Galilee. Go, tell his disciples. But instead, the women leave. They are filled with amazement, astonishment, trembling, and fear. Well, strange as this account is, it has a ring of truth to it. And make no mistake, there is good news wrapped up in it. I wonder if you have ever wondered what happened on Saturday. We know what happened on Thursday and Friday. We know those events. We remember well the foot washing of Jesus. We remember well the Last Supper he shared with his disciples and the institution of the Lord's Supper. We remember the new commandment he gave them, and of course, we remember Jesus going to the cross and his sacrifice there. We also know what happened on this day, on this Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. These things we know, but what about Saturday? What was going on then? Well, we find out in this passage, according to St. Mark. Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then as well as now, is quiet. One might even call it dead. From Friday night sundown till Saturday night sundown, there is nothing doing. Not a creature is stirring. But at sunset on Saturday night, the Sabbath shelter in place ends, and stores and restaurants open up, and people come alive and scurry about. And where were the women on that Saturday night? They went shopping. Mark tells us that they bought spices. I had to read it twice because I had missed this detail. Luke tells us that they brought spices with them when they went to the tomb. Matthew says nothing at all about spices being bought or brought by the women. Instead, Matthew tells us that frankincense and myrrh had been brought to Jesus in his infancy by the Magi, the wise men from the East. John tells us that Joseph of Arimathea had partnered up with Nicodemus, that they had already taken care of these necessary matters, together wrapping the body of Jesus in strips of linen with 75 to 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes. If nothing else, these four accounts tell us that communication was a challenge, even in biblical days. So what happened on Saturday? Mark tells us the women went shopping. Gotta give them credit, no pun intended. They had experienced the death of their Lord, and in their shock and pain, they did what they thought needed to be done. They were faithful, even in their hardest and harshest moments. They went out and bought spices, with which to anoint and care for the body of their Lord. But what about Jesus? What was he doing on that Saturday? Just lying there, taking his rest, sleeping the sleep of death? Not a chance. In the words of the Apostles' Creed, we recite, he descended into hell, or he descended to the dead. Peter tells us in his first epistle, he made proclamation to the spirits in prison. The Bible tells us no more. It is shrouded in divine mystery. He descended into hell. How do we conceive of this? What are we to think about it? Well, these are exciting days in which we are living. I've spoken to many in recent days who have been fully vaccinated and are off this weekend visiting relatives whom they have not seen face to face in more than a year. They are understandably excited to be reunited, to hug and to share with each other in a more human-like way, to touch, to enjoy each other's company. Well, when Jesus was growing up in Nazareth, although we read little about his early years, we can be pretty sure that he accompanied his parents to Jerusalem on a regular basis for the feast days, which happened 3 times each year. Those were exciting days, reunions of a sort. One of them was the Passover celebration, which, by the way, this year ends tonight. And do you know what they would have said when they were traveling from Nazareth up in the north to Jerusalem down in the south? They would have said that they were going up to Jerusalem. Now, this might bother those of you who can visualize well and are good with directions. You can see the map in your head, and you know that when you are going from north to south, you're going down. But the truth is, Jerusalem is built on mountains, and from any direction, to go there is to go up. Well, I bring this up because of the word descended, specifically, in reference to Jesus. He descended into hell, or he descended to the dead. It might lead us to think that this was the lowest of the low, that it was only with the resurrection that things took an upward turn. And yet, this descent into hell is like a going up to Jerusalem. It was progress. And now Jesus can come out of the tomb, because he has not only proclaimed to the spirits in prison, he has also done something else on that Holy Saturday. He has defeated the power of death. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And each one of us will experience one day the sting of death. But we will not be defeated by it, for we have been vaccinated, if you will, by faith into Christ. And death no longer has power over us. For Jesus himself had said, because I live, so you also shall live. When by the grace of God I am reunited with my parents this coming June, my dad and I plan to go to the cemeteries to do what my dad says, visit the dead. We will go to the graveside of his parents, my grandparents. We will also go to the graveside of his parents-in-law, my grandparents on my mom's side. We'll also see the gravesite of my great-grandfather, the very first funeral over which I officiated. But there's one place we will not go, and that is to the tomb of Jesus, because Jesus lives. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And because he lives, I can have confident hope that the graves I visit will serve only as a meeting place, a place to remember, a place that will remind me that their true abode is with our great God in heaven. Because he lives, the power of death has been defeated. The destructive virus of sin has been overcome, and we have been set free to live without fear. We have been sheltering in place for more than a year now, and it seems like it has been forever. We've been waiting so long to be done with this, to get on with life. It's safe for us to come out now, to gather on this Easter day, and we rejoice. But even more, because of the resurrection of Jesus, it's safe for us to come out of hiding, to emerge from our fear of death. We do so at first, we may do so with some hesitation and astonishment, with trembling and amazement. But the vaccination has come in Jesus, and we need fear death no longer. For with Jesus, the effective prevention rate is 100%. Of all those you gave me, not one of them was lost, says Jesus. As for the trio of women, fear would finally give way to peace. Amazement and astonishment would finally give way to joy. And in the end, their silence would give way to the witness of the resurrection of our Lord. He is going ahead of you into Galilee, into all of your tomorrows, into all of those familiar places in your life. He lives, and you will see him there. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, in response to your great love, we bow our hearts in humble adoration and give you thanks and praise as we come together this day to celebrate your resurrection in our midst. We lift before you those who are in special need of your healing touch in your lives, the assurance of your presence and grace. We lift before you Alice and Ashley, Lucas and Victor, Doris, Dorothy and Greg, Harriet, Hazel, Jack and Janet, Josh and Ashley and their family, Julianne, Kathy and Kelsey, Les, Mehmet, Ralph and Rashida, Reed, Robin, Steve, Gina, and Wally, Stephen and Thelma. O Lord God, you know each of the needs of these your servants, and we thank you that you are working in their lives. Open their eyes to your abundant grace. We pray for our nation, for unity, for your grace, that we might be leaders among nations, that your name might be glorified in your people. We pray for those who have been afflicted with COVID-19 virus, especially Pastor Marty, that you would bring him back to full health, that he might continue his ministry for your glory and for the good of your people. We thank you for those who celebrate birthdays in our midst this coming week, for AJ and Bill, for Claire and George, for Jenny, John, Kent, and Michael. Bless them richly on their birthday and in the coming year with all that is good. We pray for our president and vice president, that you would bless them with wisdom, guidance, and insight, humility, and strength as they seek to serve the people of our nation as well as our world. We pray for those at St. Luke Church in Sunnyvale, and for Pastor Lori, for the ministry taking place within and beyond their church walls, for Kamel and Badia, serving as missionaries in the Middle East and North Africa. Keep them safe and bless their ministry. And for all families who grieve the loss of loved ones, we pray that you would bless them with confidence of resurrection power. We pray for the Dickinson, Kittleson, Leper, Nakane, Shuck, Strauss, and Thorne families. All these prayers spoken, along with the silent prayers of our hearts, we lift before you, trusting in your mercy, as we join together in the prayer you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us on this Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing music for today, Christ the Lord is risen today.